warning. The following may contain adult content and adult language.
Wow, you guys are on like a completely different level of swearing.
Filthy language.
Listener discretion is advised.
All right. Welcome back to the legal dispute with P&L. I'm going to change the name every week just to piss people off, especially Dante and Andre. Paul and Lenny here with the legal dispute. This last week, I guess we actually strung up some controversy. We're going to get into it in a couple sections, but music, and now I just heard the political conversation about the Keystone Pipeline. So it's nice that people are listening.
We've got some angry listeners out there right
now. To have an opinion. We've got one really angry listener on the music, but we'll get into that in a second. But I think the biggest news this week, and we were talking about a few things as it related to President Biden. Then all of a sudden, this thing happened with the shorting of the stock on GameStop. And I think the whole world, it was kind of a break from COVID and some other things that people were like, what the hell's going on? So to try to explain this to people who don't truly understand, and I'm one of them.
Well, I'm definitely one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, how I understand the whole process of stock trading comes from Trading Places, the movie, when they were selling frozen.
Mortimer, sell.
Frozen
orange juice.
Orange concentrated or something like that.
That's right.
And I couldn't figure it out watching that movie. So I'm going to rely heavily on you today,
Paul. Oh, boy. That's dangerous. So I'm going to read a couple of things, and then you and I can jump into it. But I had to research this week, too, because short selling it's not new, but it is something that these guys just cost some of the biggest hedge funds in the United States billions of dollars. So a short selling's reputation. Sometimes short selling is criticized and short sellers are viewed as ruthless operators out to destroy companies. However, the reality is that short selling provides liquidity, meaning enough sellers and buyers. So it provides liquidity, meaning that there are enough sellers and buyers to markets that can help prevent bad stocks from rising on hype. Over-optimism, evidence of this benefit can be seen in asset bubbles that disrupt the market. Assets that lead to bubbles such as mortgage-backed security markets before the 2008 financial crisis are frequently difficult and nearly impossible to short. To go through, so what happened this week? Short selling is very complicated, and it's not something that every seller, every person that trades gets into, because it is very tricky and it is very high risk. But in short selling, a position is opened by borrowing shares of stock. That's where your first problem comes in. Or other asset that the investor believes will decrease in value by a set future date, the expiration date. The investor then sells those borrowed shares to buyers willing to pay the market price. Before the borrowed shares must be returned, the trader is betting that the price will continue to decline and they can purchase them back at a lower price. The risk of loss on a short sale is theoretically unlimited, since the price of any asset can climb to infinity, or $325.04.
Well, so let's stop there. First of all, I had no idea that these hedge funds or these brokers can borrow basically stock, right? That's what they did in this case.
Or other assets.
Yeah. They necessarily did not own this stock. They borrowed it.
Right.
I didn't know you could do that.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, they have a lot of power. So imagine a trader who believes that XYZ stock currently trading at $50 will decline in price over the next 3 months. They borrow 100 shares and they sell to another investor. The trader is now short 100 shares because he or she borrowed them from one of his other accounts. Since they sold something that they did not own but had borrowed, the short sale was only made possible by borrowing the shares, which may not always be available if the stock is already heavily shorted by other traders. A week later, the company whose shares were short, the company whose shares were shorted reports dismal financial results for the quarter and the stock falls to $40. Now, I bought it at $50 on borrowed money, and now I was betting that it would fall, and it fell to $40. the trader decides to close the short position and he or she buys using the scenario above. Let's now suppose the trader did not close out the short position at 40, but decided to leave it in to capitalize on further price decline. However, a competitor swoops in to acquire the company with a takeover offer of $65 per share, and the stock soars. If the trader decides to close the short position at 65, the loss on the short sale would be $1,500. Here, the trader had to buy back the shares at a significantly higher cost to cover their position. So when you look at what was going on with GameStop, GameStop is a retailer that sells video games primarily. That was the backbone of their business. Low margin business, high volume business is what they were going for. They sold game consoles. They took trade-ins. So, and if you went into trade, and my kids did this, you know, you go in there and you take a $50 game and they give you $5 for the game and then they were selling it for $20. But they have suffered over the last 2-3 years dramatically because there's no demand for games anymore.
You can go online. Yep. You can go on your TV.
If you buy the new, my kids just got it for Christmas. PS, whatever.
Five or whatever.
Whatever it is. PS yeah.
Cinco. Yes.
PS Cinco, whatever it is. They buy the games right there online. You're right. Mm-hmm. You know, and they pay $30 for them, $40 for them, and they download the game to the console, and then you own them. So their stock in July of this year, at closing at the month end of July, was $4 and a penny. They're going into the holiday season. They were up to $10.91. They go into about middle of December. They're at $12.72. So their stock was rising. But what these guys were betting on was coming out of Q4 as a retailer, and especially as a struggling retailer, that was going to drop. Now, these guys that were on Reddit's message board called Wall Street Bets. It's a message board that's located on Reddit. Reddit, by the way, has gotten more publicity this week than they ever expected to, and so they're as happy as a lark. They organized, and they said, hey, all these hedge fund guys are shorting this stock. Let's go have some fun. Well,
I wonder how they knew that. Did they know that because there was a lot of transaction on this stock? I mean,
the guy that started it, that was the first one. His username was Deep Fucking Value, and he's been on that. He was one of the original members of that. He was the one with the initial idea. Now he has been an experienced trader,
right?
And so he had been following the market all along. So they saw it coming,
right? So somebody with knowledge started this up. Robinhood is
a trading.
It's a trading platform, mm-hmm. Much like I made a note. There was another one that's a big one that everyone will know.
Charles Schwab,
TD Ameritrade. Charles Schwab is a full service broker. TD Ameritrade is for day traders. Robinhood is for day traders. Mm-hmm. So
E-Trade might be for day traders.
E-Trade could be. They weren't mentioned, but same type of thing. So needless to say, what happens with Robinhood is they have to clear all their sales through a trading house called Citadel. All right. Citadel is controlling what's happening on Robinhood. Citadel, guess what they owned a bunch of? GameStop. So now all of a sudden, this week, these guys all get together. GameStop has soared 1,545%. Since the 12th of January. So right now today, it's at $325 a share.
Sell.
So
sell now.
There should be guys jumping off bridges. So when you look at what Citadel had to do, so Citadel then is the company that said, hey, we need to, this is all the conspiracy theorist stuff. They talk to Robinhood and say, hey, you need to stop this. This thing has to stop. Now, the reality is that Robinhood, because they have to clear all their transactions through Citadel, you have to clear those transactions at the end of a day financially for that money to move between the two businesses. It takes 48 hours to reconcile those accounts. On a normal volume of any one stock, they can handle that. Well, then what happened this week, all of a sudden, it's crazy. The prices are jumping all over the place. And Robinhood's CEO comes out and says, we're stopping. We have to stop because he's saying that he can't clear the transactions. He's saying that legally he has to put a stop to this volatility within this stock because they legally can't keep up with the amount of volume and the amount of dollars that are trading hands between Citadel or between Robinhood and then the clearinghouse.
So he shuts it down, right?
Right. But while all this is coming out, Citadel holds a big stake in what the losses are, and the guys from Citadel have to go out and they have to give $2 billion to Melvin Capital to cover just what they lost last week.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
It's exactly right. And so what you've got is you've got this, they're saying a bunch of kids. They keep describing it as a bunch of kids, and it could be. So what you've got, though, is all these people that now day trade. You've got social media then fueling, you know, what's going on. And all of a sudden, they basically are putting hedge fund houses out of business because these guys, and understand the difference between the short. I could have been, my short amount, my maturity amount on that loan that I borrowed maybe was $7. So we didn't get to $7, but in turn, I had borrowed that stuff, and now it's up to $325. The difference between the two, it's astronomical what the dollars are that have just costed. No one's going to win in this thing, as you and I were talking about, because the reality is GameStop's not worth $325 a share. No one's going to pay for that. They're going to have earnings that have to come out. End of fiscal is January 31st. So, you know, they've got to report earnings somewhere at the end of February, whatever. And the whole thing's going to explode. And then this thing will, you know, there's going to be people that there's just millions of dollars that are going to be lost. But that is, that's what happened.
So basically these hedge funds, they owe the people they borrow the money, the stock from.
Yep.
Millions upon millions of dollars.
Correct. Because now they own the stock at $325 a share. Yeah.
Because they played a game.
Yeah.
A game they play often.
Not often, but some, it's very common, especially in the retail industry or in like the tech industry, that where you see companies that you know are fledgling, that maybe they've had three quarters of down sales, you don't see them doing anything different. And investors, what people don't understand is professional investors, real investors. There's people that watch companies, all right? So they come in and they're actually talking to the CEO. They're the ones that are on the investor calls and they're asking the questions. Where's that capital you said you were going to spend last year? You finished, you didn't open up, you know, three stores that you said that you were going to open up. Your growth isn't this. We're still seeing, I mean, these guys are smart people. They are professional traders. So they knew what GameStop was worth and they knew where GameStop should have been. So what you find is that on these companies that are declining in sales, declining in revenues, they know that their stock position is going to decline, and those are the ones that are typically going to be shorted. Target's never going to be shorted. Dick's is never going to be shorted. Tesla's never going to be shorted. But you know these other companies that are fledgling, they are the ones that get shorted. Well, so now, sorry, Len, go ahead.
I think the first thing that comes to my mind as somebody who doesn't trade stock, someone who from the outside that has a hard time understanding the game that's played, I don't think too many people are going to feel sorry for these millionaire hedge fund guys that now are caught up in their own game and are being burned by their own game. I mean, I think nobody's out there crying for them except them. They're the ones who's crying about it, right? I've seen everything from, you know, blaming other people, blaming these people that were on Reddit that did this stuff. You guys played a game. Somebody played it better than you on this day or during this time period, and you lost big time. So I don't think anybody should feel sorry for them or will feel sorry for them. The other thing is, I'm asking you this because you being a part of a pretty large retail business and being in the business world, if you are a CEO, CFO of a company like GameStop, and you're sitting here watching this go down, what is your thoughts? I mean, first of all, a hedge fund, people are playing games with your stock. I'm guessing you're not too happy about that if you're a CEO or CFO of GameStop, because you have stock in this company if you're a CEO, I'm guessing. So what is your thoughts when you're seeing this all come down? And you're CEO, Paul Gaudet, CEO of GameStop, and you see all this coming down. When do you think you first get knowledge that this is coming down? And then what is your thoughts when this is all going down?
Yeah, you as the CEO, and I don't know who the CEO of GameStop is, he or she knew what was going. I mean, they watch their stock every day, mm-hmm. and they know what their stock's worth. I mean, there's an equation out there that tells them what their stock should be worth. So the minute that they see, you know, the stock start to move, they're calling their the people that follow them, their investment groups that follow them. They're calling them, asking, "What's going on? Why are we all of a sudden hitting 30? Why are we all of a sudden hitting 40? You know, what's happening?" So they're in the know as to what's happening, but there's nothing they can do to control it because it's a publicly held stock. It's out on the stock market. They can't pull it back. You know, they can't afford to go back and try and buy it back. So there's nothing they can do but hold on. And the reality is, whether you're the CEO or the CFO, you know you're done. You know that you're hosed because, you know, this thing's going to get straightened out. Your stock's going to fall back down. You're going to have bad quarterly earnings that come out in February, and you're done. I mean, that's...
And isn't it true, from a legal perspective, as a CFO, CEO, whatever, you have to be careful not to dump your stock when it's real high.
Oh, absolutely.
High, because then it's insider trading.
Correct.
And, you know, you've seen the old guy from Quest, Nacho,
yeah.
who ended up doing time because mm-hmm. he saw that his company was going to go down.
Right. And he sold,
which ended up destroying pensions and so mm-hmm. forth, because it caused a bigger panic for the people that own stock in Quest. When you see the CEO dropping his stock, then everybody else starts dropping their stock, and then
companies have rules. The legal counsel for a company has rules for stock trading with the CFO, usually through the board. But then there's obviously also SEC regulation that goes along sure. with that. And all of a sudden, if you're a CEO and you come out and you say, "Hey, I'm going to sell, I don't know, 100,000 shares of my stock," you know, a month or 2 weeks before you release earnings and it's going to crash, you're done. I mean, it's done.
That's kind of the Martha Stewart, she did time.
Right. And okay. CEOs know that. And so only the dumb ones do it. I would tell you that every CEO that I worked with was very ethical during when it came to stock and when it came to what they knew, what they didn't know, what they didn't know, and you know what they could sell and what they couldn't sell. And so I was lucky in that regard. But I know, you know, some other friends of mine that were in the retail sector that were like, "Dude, he dumped all of his stock last week. We're screwed." And so, you know, it's funny you brought up the game. You know, these guys got hosed. They did. Did they get outsmarted? Yes. Why was there such a market? And this is what I thought was really interesting. So Robinhood, TD Ameritrade, since the start of COVID, have seen 50 to 75% more customers than what they had prior. Makes total sense. You have people that are sitting at home and they have nothing to do. So they go, "You know what? I'm going to take 10 grand. I'm going to open up an account and I'm going to go out and I'm going to do some day trading and I'm going to go see what it is that I can do." All of a sudden they end up on these message boards. Well, if all of a sudden you're on the message board and somebody goes, "Hey, haha, here's a funny joke, buy GameStop, you know, today at $50, we're going to screw with these guys in New York." One guy sitting in his house in Iowa doesn't matter. But again, the power of social media, all of a sudden you end up with a whole bunch of guys that buy a whole bunch of stock for, you know, $1,000 each. And that stock price goes from 50 to 60 to 70 to 80. Whereas these hedge funds that are sitting in New York or in New Jersey, and they've got, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of dollars that they borrowed against that they're investing because they've been following this stock. And so they know it's a good stock that they should short. And now they've lost billions of dollars. you know, is it right? Is it wrong? Is it, you know, oh, we showed the suits. I don't know. I don't, ethically, no one broke the law. Legally, no one broke the law. The guy, what was his name again? Dirtbag Dan, or what was his name, Andre?
Deep fucking value.
All right. He knew exactly what he was doing, and he knew exactly what it would, he didn't know exactly. He knew it would cost these huge firms millions. I don't know that he knew billions, but millions of dollars by using a message board that was reaching hundreds of thousands of people. And, you know, is that good for us go forward? Is that bad for us go forward?
Well, I think that's a great question, because here's my fear, or I don't know if it's a fear, but now it's gotten so much attention. It's everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Even people in my family that don't know anything about stock, including me, we're talking about it.
Right.
So, you know, people are going to see this and say, hey, this is a new idea. Why don't we start doing this and start trying to make a quick, you know, 50,000, 100,000 in one day by trying to find these stocks that they're doing this with. I think maybe the hedge fund people are going to have a second thought about doing this again. That might be the good thing. But to me, I think the...
Well, it's not, it's not necessarily a bad thing what the hedge fund guys were doing from the standpoint that...
I can't see how it's ethically a good thing when you're borrowing...
I'm sorry. They study stocks. They know that stocks are going to go down. That's their job. That's what
I understand that.
But you're right. The part where you're borrowing against, if you're going to short in cash, that's different. But you know, the historical transaction has been borrowing against, and that's how you are making all your free money back.
I compare that to my son borrowing $100 and saying from you know, my private collection or something at home, from my tennis shoes in my closet, taking that and saying, well, it's no big deal. I'm going to bet this on black on the roulette table.
Right.
And then I'm going to give the $100 back to my dad. Right. Well, now it went red.
Mm.
And now he's got to figure out how he's going to replace that back to my shoe at $100. But instead of it going red, it went double red. And so now he has to actually pay triple the amount because he's got to figure out how to figure out the debt and pay me my money back.
Yep.
To me, that's a game. That's a chance he took. That's a risk he took. And somebody came in and doubled down the bet and kind of called you on your bet. So to me, you know, again, no, from our side of it, my side of it, nobody's shedding tears for these brokers. They played a game, and when the game they played went against them, they lost, and they lost big.
I think that they played a game that they had studied for, that they had researched for, and when you look at what the inherent risk was in their eyes, maybe it's a dollar, maybe it's $2. Because you're talking about a stock, again, it was at its high before, it was a $12 stock. So no one in any of these hedge funds, any of these investment houses said, hey, what if like somebody came in and bought it and it went to 325? What's our risk? You know, they were saying, okay, what's our risk if this thing goes, if we borrow it at the 12, it goes down to 10. You know, what's okay? Well, there's that spreadsheet. Okay, great. Well, hey guys, what if it goes up to 14? Oh fuck, dude. Okay, well, you know, here's that risk, and you know, we're all going to lose our jobs if it does that. Okay, what about 325? Because that's where I keep saying. I mean, all this is net. All this is gonna. No one's gonna end up making. There's the guys who bought it at 12 and sold it at 100. And you see those stories this week. Yeah.
And they're out $50,000.
Yeah, yeah. And they're paying off college debt. All right. So you're going to have those stories. But, you know, holistically, GameStop's never going to make it. You know, the stock was never worth 325. When this thing comes back to earth, there's going to be people that are just shattered. And it could be suits, but it can also be the people that were borrowed against, the people that that these guys did business with. I mean, that's the thing that bugs me the most. And so I know that they've now gone out and they've targeted two other stocks, AMC Theaters,
right,
and Bed Bath & Beyond, and I'm missing one other one, that are targeted as short candidates, mm-hmm. and they're gonna try and halt the short trading on those. And they know what a short trade is because they're
who
setting
up that Wall Street.
At this point, TD Ameritrade and
some of the big
and Robinhood. Well, the big day trading companies, because again, they've got to go to the clearinghouse once they're done with that transaction. The SEC is supposed to come down with a ruling on this week. And I think that what you could end up finding is that shorting stocks could go away, which I don't know if that's legal or not, but you invest at your own risk. So,
well, here's the problem that I, again, from a legal perspective, if you borrow something and you can't pay that back, I mean, you've got a whole bunch of problems. I mean, A, you're going to be broke, and I'm sure they're going to figure out a way to file bankruptcy on it. But if you're talking about, hey, you know, I borrowed this stock and now I owe someone, you know, $300 million or some company or some other hedge fund or however that works, and you can't pay it back, what happens then? I mean, what happens to the people that you borrowed from that have a right to have their stock back?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They're screwed.
So I mean, that's the part, because you, like you said, you have so many hours to show that stock you borrowed is actually there.
Right.
So you have to buy it back, right? Otherwise, then it might become a criminal. If you can't show that you have the stock within 48 hours, I imagine there's some type of penalty.
There has to be, but that's why, that's why these funds were out borrowing money from other funds this week to try and keep them afloat so they could pay back the stock. I mean it's,
you're robbing Peter to pay Paul at that time, right?
Well, you're robbing Cohen that owns the Mets to pay to pay back these two firms. But the question is, who's out there buying this stuff as it's soaring when you know it's a crap company anyway? It's some of these guys that are trying to buy back. But this is where I have no issue. And what I mean by that is, that's greed. That's just greed right there. This guy made millions, if not billions of dollars on shorting the housing market back in 2008. And he made, I don't know, $680 million, billion dollars, something. So now he's sitting here going, okay, well, guess what? I'm going to get in on this game. And, you know, he's going to... There's a difference between doing something because you're competitive or whatever, and then there's greed. I define that as greed, but that's me. What he'll say and what he'll justify it with is, well, I've got to go back to my investors and show growth within, you know, the accounts, and I've got to show that, you know, I'm smarter than the next guy down the street. But really, because is that your new Bugatti out front? Because I'm just wondering, you know, what is it you're doing? That's why some of these millennials that are involved in all this have no issue watching the suits in Wall Street, you know,
panic.
Yeah. Well, cry.
So he started his run on GameStop back in 2019. So you want to talk about guys who had their eyes on this? These sharks had their eyes out miles ahead, way before even the subreddit had ever picked this
but
up.
But there's guys, this is what they do. This is, and by the way, if he was back in 2019 ons and he was shorting this, that I have no issue with that. It's an underperforming company at that time. You're betting on what it is that you're researching. It's going to go from a $4 stock to a $2 stock. Okay. That is not greed. That's doing your job. But when you capitalize on what the guys from Reddit were doing, and all of a sudden your investment turns from, you know, this, and then I went out and bought more shares and I drove it up to this. That's the difference between this and that. But
well, and he's saying right here, his bottom line was that there should be legal and regulatory repercussions. This is unnatural, insane, and dangerous.
Well, he was in the game though, Ons. He didn't jump in the game late. Now, granted, he capitalized on it, so he was in the game. There are people that do their jobs. Leonard's been an attorney for 25 years. If some kid goes out and researches some case, whatever it is, it doesn't matter, and all of a sudden posts it on social media and he's right and Leonard's wrong, does that mean that he's a better attorney than Leonard? No. That means that he went out and he did something and he won, you know, a conversation. These guys, through social media, through that message board, one guy that was really smart went out and grabbed a whole bunch of people that didn't necessarily do as much homework as he had, but they thought it was a good idea. And all of a sudden, they threw Wall Street into a fury, you know, for the better part of 5 days. It's not over yet because you got to see what happens tomorrow when Monday, when Wall Street opens again and see what happens with this. But I would think that now with all the publicity, it's over, but we'll find out. How do you, as the SEC, then go out and say, we've got to protect this from happening again? And so if you take the Bed Bath & Beyond example, if Bed Bath & Beyond comes out, and there's already been news that Bed Bath & Beyond underperformed in Q4. So if Bed Bath & Beyond comes out with their earnings and they underperformed by, I don't know, 10, 15, 18%, and their stock then drops, you know, another $2, what does the SEC do at that point? Because the SEC now goes, okay, these guys are absolutely ready to be poached and be shorted. How do we make sure that this doesn't happen again? And I don't know the answer to that, because Andre, your point, which is very well taken, you know, some of these guys have been on failing retailers for up to 2 years, because it takes a while, you know, for a retailer to fail. And so they're just betting that every quarter they're going to drop. They're going to keep dropping.
Again, I go back to, don't you think with social media and the way people are at home now doing things online, studying in front of their computers for hours and hours of the day, don't you think this changes the way people trade from here on out? I think it does. I think it, just like anything in this day and age during this pandemic, things have changed. I mean, I went from having a full office, using every inch of my office space, to looking to downsize. And I'm comparing that only in that I would not be out there buying commercial real estate right now.
Right.
Because I can't imagine people are realizing, hey, you can do legal work from home. You can get hired by clients. You can meet with clients by Zoom. You can go to court on TV now and don't have to drive, you know, 50 miles to go to a court hearing. I think if anything the pandemic did, and anything that we've seen over the last year, is people are realizing, hey, I can do this, and I can do this from home. And I think this is a prime example of that. Now, like you said earlier, people are at home on Reddit. They're going to be on there now. They're going to be looking for this stuff. They're going to be following people's advice. I started, you know, watching and following TikTok. From the day this happened, I saw maybe 500 people try to explain this on TikTok and then say, follow me and I'll explain how you can do this. So I think this is opening up a game, and I think this changes Wall Street. What I worry about is that Wall Street will then figure out a change to keep the smaller guy out. You know, nobody, hedge fund owners don't want to lose their power and their ability to make billions of dollars. And they don't want to lose it to Tom and Hank, who are sitting at home, you know, trying to pay their college bills. They don't want to lose it to them. So they're going to figure out around this. But I think everything has changed from here on out because of what happened and because of the publicity that it's happened. And the way it happened through social media and through some of these web channels.
You know, a very common term for all of us is slippery slope, right? It's a very slippery slope, because now all of a sudden, if I am a professional day trader, I do my homework, I'm doing my research, I'm putting my time in, but all of a sudden I want to manipulate a stock, and all I got to do is go to a message board to manipulate a stock.
Oh yeah.
That should be very scary. And that's where the SEC has to get involved and say, wait a minute, we need to figure out some of this, because not everybody who was on, you know, Wall Street Bets message board, you know, some of those guys were, hell, that was their second day on. They go, hey, dude, this guy says we should buy $100 of this stock. Let's buy it right now. You know, I mean, and so you've got to weigh that out too.
Right. No, I agree.
One thing to keep in mind is that it is a game on both ends. For every person who made a lot of money off of GameStop on Wall Street Bets, there's two or three people that lost a lot of money because there were, like you said, there's a lot of other speculation going on that thread and now millions of others out there on the internet. So people are losing as much as they're gaining.
Oh, no. Ultimately, you're going to read these stories about these people that made X amount of dollars in a day. But the backside of this, I think, is ugly, Hans. I mean, again, you've got a stock that is artificially inflated right now to $325 a share. Someone owns all that stock. Somebody didn't get out, and that stock is not worth $325 a share. It may not be worth $2 a share. So you're right. There are people out there that are going to lose their money. Now, right now, what they're betting on is what the Reddit followers and the people that were on Wall Street Bets is they're betting that the people that are going to lose their money are the suits that are in Wall Street, which I'm sure that a lot of that is where the money will be lost. But there's common men who are going to lose money too, common people that are going to lose money on this too, and that's the danger that comes out with this.
I just saw that quote. That was pretty funny, Andre. What happened this week explained in simple terms: if one monkey buys stock, stock stays still. If many monkeys buy stock, stock goes up.
That's it. All right. That is the big story of this week. Next week, we'll come up with another big story, but I thought this one was very, very interesting. I hope you guys enjoyed our conversation. I hope that you don't have any GameStop stock at $325 a share. For this segment, we are out.
Welcome to Attorney Docs. It's the first and only online marketplace that allows legal professionals to sell their legal documents to fellow attorneys, paralegals, students, and the general public. Want to start selling? Simply register for free at attorneydocs.com and upload your documents. You can set your own price and get a 60% commission for every sale you make. Now there's a new stream of income for you. For document buyers, we know it takes a painstaking amount of time to start a document from scratch. So that's why we're here to provide you with thousands of reliable and accurate legal files in 74 different categories of law. Visit attorneydocs.com now and start selling or buying legal documents today.